kick it off talking a little bit about the Denver Nuggets and their win last night over the San Antonio Spurs. Made it two in a row for Denver, 110-105, the final score down at Ball Arena. Now, the Nuggets had to have a huge three knocked down from Michael Porter Jr. Joker steps to the free throw line to knock down a couple to seal the deal. It was, what, end of the second quarter, end of the third quarter, and the middle of the fourth quarter, Stoke. Denver went on the little runs, but San Antonio would answer. The 10-point lead would get cut down to a 4-point lead. The 13-point lead would get cut down to a 6-point lead. That seemed what it felt like throughout the entire game, but Denver was able to hold on, led by Nikola's 42-16. And six. That was the leading scorer for Denver. And then Wimby, obviously, the 23-5-8. And by the way, add 9 blocks. He's 2 assists and a block away from a quadruple double. Would have been just the 5th player in NBA history to achieve that. He's going to do that sooner rather than later. It was a heck of a game. And I mentioned this earlier, man. It's just like a dude that appreciates the game of hoops. The way they were up for that, to guard one another, to go back and forth. Joker had a stuff on Wimby and got him all fired up, smiling and talking to Wimby about it at the free throw line. That was beautiful to see those two dudes recognize who they're guarding, who they're playing against, and embrace the challenge.
Yeah, it was, you know, hats off to the Spurs. They came to play. And, you know, like you said, it looked like it was going to be a blowout there. And then they always found a way to get themselves back in the game. And there we are in a tie game with, you know, under a minute left to go in the game. And, you know, Nuggets had to make some plays. I like that, though. Right? I mean, you want to be tested a little bit. You know, with a little bit of pressure on you there, Michael Porter Jr. Wide open three. Game's tie. Can you make it? You did. You delivered. Big time shot. So that's what it's going to be about in the playoff basketball. It's not going to be blowouts. You're going to have to win some tough games there. So I like the fact that it was close. I get it. You know, should they have blown them out? You know, whatever. Those guys get paid too. So, but good all around win because Oklahoma City Thunder lost. So you had a chance to pick up a game there. You did. You're in first now with Minnesota and OKC a half game behind you. So you're in a good spot, really good spot. That was a big game, needed to get that W. I think for me now it's about Jamal. And what does that like look like moving forward? Because you need him to be healthy. And I'm hoping that we see him Thursday against the Clippers. If not, that's when I'll be really concerned if he doesn't play Thursday because it was an ankle. We saw him. How many games? Did he warm up last night?
He did.
He did?
Mm-hmm. he was like doing his half court shot. He was doing the full second. I believe it's the second game in a row he's done his full pregame workout routine.
Okay, so that makes me feel better that this isn't like serious, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something's bothering him a little bit. We want to be very cautious with it. Let's take our time. And okay, he probably could have came back last night. We're playing the Spurs at home. Let's wait until the Clippers, which would be a lot more competitive game, you would think. That's what I'm hoping. But he's going through the warm-ups. We can't be that concerned, right? I mean, if his knee was jacked up or his ankle was jacked up, he'd be in the training room.
That's exactly right. And it feels like, if this game, it's to what you just said, Stoke, if this game mattered, if this was a postseason game or if this was a must-win regular season game, Jamal's lacing him up and he's going to go out there and play. Maybe that's how they approach the Clippers on Thursday. Maybe that's how they approach the Minnesota Timberwolves next week because the season is officially winding down. So we'll find out. We'll find out what it means for the Nuggets and what it could mean for Jamal Murray as soon as tomorrow night in Los Angeles. I want to ask you a question about Wimby. As great as he is, and like I said, this dude is, his ceiling is, there might not be one for what he can be at the NBA level. But as far as like being a guy in control and having a system run completely through you, now they're doing that now because they just don't have anybody else and it's AAU basketball. Get out of the way, Wimby will do his thing. Do you ever see Victor getting to the Nikola level of dominance? Of what Nikola does is he controls the game with the basketball in his hand. He can control the game without the basketball in his hand. He can control the game from the top of the key. He can control the game from the post. Nikola dictates terms of how basketball is played when he is on the floor. That's one of the reasons that makes him so great. He's also got touch, court vision, boxing out ability, all the stuff we love about Nikola Jokic. Does Victor ever get to that level?
I think so.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I mean, because he's got the body type where he can shoot it from the outside. He can go to the rim. And he's going to get a lot of attention because he's got a really good jump shot. And he's, you know, an athletic 7'4" guy. And we see the stuff that he can do on the defensive side of the court also. But I do believe that because you're going to have to pay attention to him. He's going to be tough to deal with. Plus, I mean, the guy's 20 years old. You know, I mean, that's it. So you would think that he's going to mature and get better and improve. And if he does that, then, yeah, I do think he's going to command that type of attention. Now, is he going to win, you know, 3 out of 4 MVPs? That's a very difficult thing to do. I'm not predicting that. But I do believe that he's going to take that next step and draw the attention that a guy like Jokic, Giannis, true top 3, 4, 5 players in the league, the attention that they get.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to be very good and great with what he does. Obviously, we were talking about it in the break. Like, I wonder about the weight, what that looks like, if he's going to be able to add it, bulk up a little bit, and really be able to bang bodies with the true bigs in the NBA. Now, there's not a ton of them. It's Joker, it's Joel, it's, you know, less than a handful of guys, so maybe that doesn't have to be the case. But we talk about Nikola being a generational player and changing the way we look at the center position because everything he can do. Maybe Wimby changes that. Maybe we look at it differently from what Nikola has taught us about being a center, and then it changes with Victor. I was just, the reason I asked it, I'm like, and I wonder, like, Joker's prime, Wimby's prime, who we would, all right, you got to start the franchise, right? Who would you pick out of those two players? And we don't know because we don't know what Wimby's going to turn into right now.
And so obviously you'd pick Jokic because, I mean, he's about to win another MVP. He's already won a championship, an MVP in the finals. I mean, so 3 out of 4 MVPs, that's historic. I mean, that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. How many people have done that in the history of basketball? Not many. I think when you look at Wembanyama and his body type, I don't think it impacts him with the way the game is being played today.
Okay.
Behind the 3-point line, right? Mm-hmm. That's where he functions at his best. And so there's not, like you said, there's not like a lot of true bigs that are just going to pound him and make him play defense on him, you know, minute after minute, quarter after quarter, right? I mean, all these guys, like even Embiid, he's not a post player.
Not really.
He's out there on the 3-point line. He's shooting mid-range jumpers most of the game, right? So Jokic obviously can do it all, but I think so the way that the game is, and I was watching that OKC game last night against Philly, and it's just like, and I already know this, but it was so glaring that it is such a 3-point league.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is it. I mean, like, you don't see a whole lot. I mean, guys have like a 5 or 6 footer, and they're passing it out for a 3-pointer to an open guy, right? But it's like, dude, you just had a 5 or 6 footer there, and you're throwing it out for a 3-pointer, and it was possession after possession after possession. I'm like, oh my goodness, all it is 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
That's what the game is now. That's the Steph effect there, Stoke, is what we're seeing. I actually want to keep this conversation going. I want to hear from Coach Malone. He talked about what the biggest concern is with the team right now. And we've also started to see Malone tinker with some stuff, experiment a little bit with some of the lineups, including not having a true point guard on the floor. Is that something we will see in the postseason? We're going to answer that next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, I want to keep this Nuggets conversation going. We're going to tie the Rockies in here in just a moment. You want to join the conversation? Do it on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We're actually going to ask you guys a specific question here in a couple minutes in regards to the Nuggets and the Rockies. But first, Stoke, Michael Malone, after the game, asked by the media what his biggest concern is with his team right now.
If you ask me what are the 3 major concerns that you have in the last 21 games now, it would be the defense has been outstanding, the offense has been incredible, but we have done a poor job in terms of getting back in transition at times, but the rebounding and the paint, you know, those are 2 areas that we have to try to shore up in our last, what do we have, 5 games left now or
6
games left?
All right, so rebounding, paint, presence, protecting the rim, all those good things. again, this is now about, what, the second time in three or four games that he's mentioned that specifically, rebounding, paint, rim protection. Now, it did happen last night. What was the final total there for DeAndre? Just 6 minutes. And it is because Zeke's dealing with an injury, but this is, sometimes I get frustrated with Malone on stuff like this. Like, he's right. Paint presence, rim protection, rebounding has been a problem here over the last week. Play DeAndre Jordan. Play the seven-footer that you have that specializes in those three things that you believe are issues with your team. Now, you can't ask him to play 20 minutes, but he can give you 12, Stoke. What's going on there?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think you make a lot of sense to me. But certainly it has been an issue. I mean, the Spurs got 15 offensive rebounds.
Ooh.
That's just too many. 15 second-chance points. We saw it against Minnesota. We saw it against the Suns. And, you know, sometimes you just get bad bounces. Teams are jacking up threes that's hitting the back of the rim and going, you know, 15 feet out. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, there's nothing you can do about that. But, like, they do. They have to be better. You can't give good teams second-chance opportunities because usually they make you pay for it. We saw that with Phoenix. They crushed us with second-chance opportunities there. So, yeah, got to clean it up. But you're right. Okay, well, you know, obviously the bench leaves a lot to be desired. You got no big guy there besides DeAndre Jordan, so why not play Jordan more? I'm with you.
Yeah, like I said, you don't ask him to go be your backup center and do everything that Nikola does, but let him do the couple of things he still has in his bag as that veteran center. Another thing that we've seen, and now we've seen this a couple of times in the last few games as well, it's a non-point guard lineup from Michael Malone. He takes Reggie off the floor. It's a guy like CB is kind of your ball handler. Really, it's Nikola that's going to run the sets for you, but you'll have Christian bring it up from time to time. Aaron even brings it up from time to time. Do you think this is something that you see in the postseason? Obviously, you hope you have Jamal Murray back, so staggering changes a little bit more, but this is, you know, 2-3 times here in the last week that we've seen Malone kind of experiment and tinker with that non-point guard, really untraditional look of a lineup.
Yeah, and I don't think it really matters because, like you said, everything is going through Jokic.
Yeah.
And right away, he's getting the ball right when you cross midcourt. Sometimes he brings it up. And so it's not like, okay, this guy's a point guard. He's directing everything. Everything is going through him, and he's controlling the offense. It's Jokic, mm-hmm. You know. So it doesn't really matter who brings up the ball. They're going to give it to Jokic right away. So just as long as he's on the court with that odd lineup, yeah, then I think it's fine because everything is going to go through him. And I think that says a lot about where this team is at right now, their bench, and the concerns there. Like, Michael Malone is looking for different lineups, different guys. What's it going to look like? And so you want to take a look at different things, and now's the time to do it, right? Against the Spurs, mm-hmm, at home. Let's take a look at different lineups, and hey, you don't want to plan for guys getting hurt, but you need to have backup plans here. And so I think that's what you're seeing.
And I also, you're right, and I think a little bit of that is, let's call it what it is. Reggie Jackson hasn't been great as of late. I might even hesitate to call him good as of late. He made some real bad decisions last night. He only had 9 points on 13 shots. He had a floater that we were talking about it off air. Like, I don't think Wimby even jumped to block that thing. And even the broadcast, the Nuggets broadcast said, like, hey, man, shot fake and then dish that to Nikola, who's standing there by himself for what could have been his fourth dunk of the game. Maybe it's a little bit of Reggie struggling right now and Malone's witnessing it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's concerning all the way around. But you look at a veteran presence like Reggie Jackson, and like, he's provided some spark this year, but just lately it hasn't been good. He had the one good game. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, it was two or three games ago, I believe, right? Didn't he have a great game? But for the majority of that, and the guys were giving him high fives and stuff, he made a couple big shots, but the majority of it here recently hasn't been good. That's a concern. He's a big part of your bench right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Bruce Brown anymore, so you're looking at a bench of Reggie, Peyton Watson, and Christian Brown. I mean, probably what it's going to be.
You're right.
So, concerning there with the way that he's playing right now. But a veteran player, you hope that he can kind of bounce back a little bit and get it going back in the right direction.
I also wanted to mention, I hinted at this earlier, and we hadn't got back to circle around to it yet, Michael Porter Jr. He struggled shooting the ball last night. He struggled a bit in as great as he was post-All-Star, he's kind of come back down to earth from that guy that we saw. But I saw something, in fact, it was in the six-minute stretch that DeAndre Jordan was on the floor. It's the bench lineup, and Michael is the starter out there with him. Now, Reggie, because of he's starting last night, but traditionally not a starter. And you know what they were doing, Stoke? They were running sets for him. They were allowing him to be the focus on offense. And one play particular, it's a high screen comes, a high pick from DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan set a great screen, like put it on the Spurs defender. Michael goes right around it, squares up, plants his feet, squares up to the basket, and knocks down a three. I thought to myself, that's an option there for Malone. I don't know about in the postseason, but maybe to work on and work towards in the coming seasons of MPJ becomes a guy that you stagger with and you run the offense through him.
That makes me so nervous.
Can't have him dribble the ball, but those little things, coming off screen,
right,
catch and shoot. Like, you know what I thought of? I thought like Reggie Miller type. Maybe I'm reaching there because they're not the same player.
Yeah. Just don't do that.
Catch on a screen,
don't
shoot. That's what it is.
That's what you thought of. Like, no, ever, never compare those two.
He can't.
You know better than
come
that.
Come off, like, dude, I practice that in my driveway.
I know what you're talking about. No, but seriously, I think that's a disaster. No, that's like.
Never. He can never do that.
No, I'm just talking about you don't put Michael Porter Jr. in that role. The role to be playing with the four guys, the bench guys. Like, he's the center of attention then? No, he needs to be the third option guy. That's who he is. And so I will see. Like, that's definitely not a playoff lineup.
No, right? That's what I'm saying. It's a thing you work on.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, if you want to throw Michael Porter Jr. a bone every now and then and have him be the guy with the what do you call that role there?
Staggers with
the bench there. That's fine, but like to me, he's not really. I don't want to say it disrespectful, but he's not going to ever be the guy.
Yeah,
you know, and so he plays his role really nicely. So let's just leave him there. That's the way I look at it.
I mean, I feel like it's catered to him, like. All you need to do is come in here and shoot the ball. We want you to come and catch and shoot off of a screen, shoot the ball. Like, hey, you grew up playing AAU basketball. Go back to that dude. I think it fits perfectly for him. Moving forward, he has to grow into that, and he's a liability when he puts the ball on the floor. I understand that concern from you, but I think it's something that he could evolve into.
I hope so. I mean, when does that happen? I mean, like, it's not like he's in his second year.
That's right.
Or third year.
Yeah.
But if you give him those opportunities, maybe he takes advantage of it. I don't know. I think the good thing here and what I'm hoping is, obviously, you get in the playoffs, the bench shrinks. So you probably go with an 8-man rotation, majority of it, and the starters' minutes will balloon and become bigger and more. And so, like, that's my one, like, okay, all right, we're not going to see as much of the bench.
Yeah.
So although they're going to play a vital role if you're going to try to win it all, it's just not going to be as much as it's been.
All right. That's fair. What do you make of it, Michael Porter Jr.? Does he have to play the one role he can, or can he evolve into helping out a little bit more with these Denver Nuggets? Now, when it comes to the Nuggets, we know that the Rockies' win total was 59.5. It's not out of the question that the Nuggets get to 57, 58 wins. Who wins more games in 2024, the Denver Nuggets or the Colorado Rockies? Tell us what you feel at 303-713-1043 or over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. We'll answer and react to yours next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
I asked you guys out there, who wins more games? The Rockies? 59.5 is what it was set at. Or the Denver Nuggets, who after last night's win over the Spurs are sitting at 53-23. Six games to go. I can even do that math and hopefully not screw it up. Win them all, that's 59. You would set a franchise record. How'd I do?
I think you did good.
Okay,
but what is the franchise record?
57.
Okay, 57. So I need to win 5 to break the record?
Yep.
Okay. And you got 6 left?
You got
so
six
five
left.
And one, you break the season win record.
Yep.
Okay.
And 57 was 2012-13. That was the year without Carmelo Anthony, and found themselves as a 3 seed, lost to the Warriors, who were 6 seed and then turned into the Warriors. So, Stoke, right now, 53-23 are the Denver Nuggets. 1-5 are the Colorado Rockies. I'll ask you, and then we'll catch up on the text line at 303-713-1043. It's powered by Ramos Law. Who wins more games? This Denver Nuggets 23-24 team or this Colorado Rockies 2024 team?
Have you watched the Rockies?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they can win 50 games. It is the Denver Nuggets. I don't even think it's in question. I think this is a easy one. This is a layup. How can I pick the Rockies to win 59 games, 58 games? They can't field a ground ball in the outfield. They can't catch a pop fly in the outfield, like right to them, right? Their starting pitcher, their ace, has given up more runs for a lefty in the first two starts in 111 years. They gave up 14 runs in the third inning in opening day. We're watching history be made for the wrong reasons. This team stinks. They are. It's some of the worst baseball I've ever seen. I'm talking about watching my kid play 7-8 year old baseball. It's a disaster. It's an absolute train wreck of a disaster. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's embarrassing. Like, have some pride. It's awful. So, like, I'm going to pick them to win, 58, 59, 60 games? No way. There's no chance. No chance. None. Zero. Unless, we can go get Todd Helton back. Right? Yeah. Vinny. I know Vinny's around. We need Vinny back. Bring Vinny back.
Vinny's around.
My guy.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we can score a couple runs. So, I mean, no, man. Just what? They're complete disaster. Worse than I thought they would be it's not even close. I thought they would, not be a great team, but I was listening to Bud Black with Slareth and Evans. I'm like, all right, they're going to be a scrappy team. They're going to compete. They've heard what everyone's saying, that they're going to stink and they're going to come out on a mission. Like, they're going to play, it's not going to be one of those teams where we win, 80 games or whatever the case may be, or 100 games. No, I know that, but they're going to be a competitive team. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to see the Bad News Bears every game.
Yeah.
Like comedy hour. So it's been worse than I expected. I'm saying Nuggets. How do you see it?
I understand why you're saying Nuggets. I want to say Nuggets. But I'm going to say the Rockies. I'm going to say the Rockies in this.
What?
That's right.
Okay, I like that. Let's bet.
You want to get some action?
Yeah, I want to see how confident you are. Okay. Say it, big boy. Yeah. Let's see if you're going to back it up.
I'm down to back
you
it up.
You going to that action?
We got it. Well, you know what? I told you earlier, it's about some rest time for the Nuggets. They got to get some rest time here in the final six games.
All right.
I think the Nuggets are finishing around 55 wins, 56 wins.
Really?
They're going to get a couple more. What are they, 53 right now?
That's it?
They're gonna beat the Clippers on Thursday. They're going to beat Minnesota coming up on, next Wednesday. And then I think they're probably going to give it a go with their starters in the Atlanta game because it's the second-to-last home game. You want to treat your home fans right, and the Nuggets treat their home fans right. So that's where I'm at. I'm at 56. And the Rockies will win 58.
Wow. The Rockies aren't winning 58, buddy. I see what you're saying about the Nuggets.
I'm not giving you the number,
so.
But I'll give you some action on who wins more.
I like your rationale there. I thought I had you in. But if the Nuggets do operate that way, they might only win 2 or 3 games if they do rest people. But I don't think they're going to operate that way.
Okay.
I think they're playing the guys that are healthy. And most of the guys are healthy. Like, we're boo-booing over here. I hear Phillip, it's like, oh, my gosh, Jokic has got a hip. He's got a wrist. He's, Michael Porter Jr. has a drop foot that he had 5 years ago. Like, Aaron Gordon has plantar fasciitis. Like, dude, these guys are playing a ton of minutes. Like, did Nikola Jokic look hurt last night?
He did not. He looked
not
great.
Not for 1 second.
No.
So, like, we're just making this stuff up to sit these guys. Like, did Aaron Gordon look like he has, like, this bad case of plantar fasciitis?
He looked okay.
It looked fine to me, right? How did the drop foot look on Michael Porter Jr. in the back that he had surgery on 20 years ago. I mean, like, what are we doing, folks? Like, you know, these guys are fine. They're healthy. And if they aren't, then sit them. But I think they're fine. Just because we see them show up on the injury report, and you're the one that gave me a heads up on this, mm-hmm. right? They're putting them on there, so if they do need to rest them, they have the excuse of, like, yeah, his hip.
Yep.
His hip. Like, come on. I mean, like, these guys, they're as healthy as they could be right now. Like, and then what is a day or two going to do for them? I think we're playing ball, man. Jamal's going to be back. We're winning 5 out of 6, maybe sweeping all 6 of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the Rockies might not get to 50. What's the worst season the Rockies have ever had?
They just did it last year.
That was 59. It last year.
Yeah.
59. Well, mm-hmm. that, 55 max wins for the Rockies this year.
Well, the text line is 100% on your side.
Hey!
100%.
That's
we
my
even
guys.
Got one texter that says, at this rate, the Rockies, the Broncos are going to win more games than the Rockies.
I don't know about all that.
Pump the brakes on that one.
Wow.
I see where your head is at. So, yeah, we got to figure out what the terms are, but I'm in on some action with you.
Okay. All right.
We'll figure out what we're looking at.
Okay.
All right. Our final segment, we're going to come back, wrap it all up. In fact, the only...
I think we... Because it's a little bit longer action here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we got to wait till the dang end of the baseball season.
Yeah.
That's like an... Well... Rockies won't be playing in October.
No.
Not in playoffs, but that's a long ways away, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe like a little afternoon after work at Stanley's.
Oh, there we go.
Couple cigars.
Okay. I'll pick up the tab if I lose. You pick up the tab if I lose.
Exactly.
Okay. That's it. There we go. We just figured it out. That's a kind of a win-win for, you know, get to hang out. I'll definitely rub it in your face. Like, this is such a good cigar
right,
that I paid for.
I'll be
for.
Like, I don't care. I'm not at home. Like, yeah. Babe, I got to pay off my bet, right?
That's right.
I have to do. Like, yeah. That's what we have to do. Like, it's bad karma not to pay your bets. Got to pay my bet. So I got to go to Stanley. Yeah. No, it's not. The bet was for 3 cigars, babe. I don't know. It's going to be there for a little bit. I can't tell you. Like, I don't know. Bad bet by me. I'm sorry, but I got to pay it off.
And in fact, I need you to pick me up and then take Josh home afterwards. All right, we're going.
You can draw the line there, buddy.
Yeah, she'll probably
get an
say
Uber.
No,
right? Yeah, Uber on that one.
I'm not trying to get punked by her, so whatever she says goes. All you agreeing that it is the Nuggets by far. All right, let's come back and get you ready for the night where it's only the Colorado Rockies in action tonight. How much attention will we give them? Any? All? We'll tell you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stepping over in the corner, baby, I saw pretty red lips working on a white claw. Shaking to a little, shook me all night long. And I thought, man, what a beautiful sight. In the morning, you don't wake up in my shirt, man.
Our final segment on a Wednesday. Want to remind you that on Friday, we're all hanging out downtown. The home opener party is going to be live from the rooftop at El Patio in Denver. It's fact right across the street from Coors Field. We're going to walk you right up to first pitch here on our show, and the drive's going to keep it rolling through 6 o'clock. And they're going to give away, by they, I mean us, we're going to give away a special prize. We're going to give it away before the game. So you have to be at El Patio and on the rooftop to learn how you can win, to learn what the prize is. It is a sweet one. And you have to be present when we call your name to win said prize. So come and see us starting at 10 a.m. Friday at El Patio.
You Denver. Know what the prize is?
I do.
Do I know what it is?
I don't think you do.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
It's a secret.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. It's a sweet, sweet
prize.
If you
say it's a good one, you better deliver then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hype it up. We don't overhype on this show.
No.
All right, we deliver. I love it. All right, cool. Can't wait for that. Should be a, hopefully it's a better than what we've been watching. If not, guess what? What's the place called?
El Patio.
El Patio will deliver.
Always
will
does.
Deliver.
Yeah.
So it's all good. All right, opening day.
I mean, look, the
right around the corner.
The day is about the day. It's not about baseball. It's about the day.
That's right.
Wherever you are around, El Patio is going to be the place. But it's about being there in the environment. Come be there with us.
So it's still going to be a big party downtown, you
Heck
believe.
Yeah.
It won't be anything, like there won't be a lot less people because the Rockies stink.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a party. It's like Mardi Gras. It's going to be a party.
Yeah.
We're
going
to party. It doesn't matter anything to do with the Rockies are good or bad. It's opening day. We party here. Okay.
There'll be stumbling bros, crying girls,
There'll be stumbling girls and crying bros.
Oh, look at you.
That's what it's going to be, man.
All right.
It's always interesting to be like the sober people, you know, around. Like we're at work. Obviously, we're working. And then it's like, well, that guy's going to punch that guy in the face. Those girls hate each other. And that guy's jersey has been ripped off. And it's 11 a.m.
Love it. Love it. That's what you get.
It's a whole lot of fun.
Right.
Coming up on opening day. Again, come kick it with us at El Patio. All right. Real fast before we get into the Rockies, because they're the only show on in town tonight. We're going to figure out how much we're actually watching this game this evening. But I want to talk about Rashee Rice for a second. You see all the stuff going on with the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver?
Yeah.
In a Lamborghini that was leased to him, rented to him, and then a Corvette that was doing things they shouldn't have been doing. High-speed racing on a highway.
And it's his Corvette.
It was his Corvette.
Yeah.
So he owns a Corvette, is leasing the Lambo.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And hit a couple of people. It was like, what, 4 or 5 cars that were involved into it. The driver of the Lamborghini, the driver of the Corvette, left. And there's video of them getting out of the car and walking away from the scene of the accident. And now TMZ did their TMZ thing, and they took some of Rashee Rice's Instagram posts from that day, then took the video that the pedestrians, the people involved in the accident, took, and simply matched the clothing together. He's literally wearing the same shirt and pants that is in his Instagram photos. And those people's photos of them walking away.
Yeah.
And now it's leased to him. The Corvette's owned by him. His lawyers are chatting with police and figuring out what the move is here. Now, Stoke, first and foremost, nobody was seriously injured. No lives lost. And that's a miracle, by the way, those guys were driving. But what is a possible punishment here by the Chiefs, by the NFL? Or is this a, hey, we're going to let the law enforcement do their due diligence, and then we'll figure out what kind of slap on the wrist we're giving this young dude after?
Yeah, it's hard to figure out the NFL, yeah. You know, and how they dole out punishment. And sometimes you think guys are going to, man, he's going to get a big punishment here or a big fine, and it's nothing. And then sometimes you think it's not much, and it ends up being the biggest deal ever. It's like, oh, okay, wow, that doesn't seem like it fits what happened, but that's the NFL, right? I don't know. Roger, you know, how did he sleep last night?
Oh, he slept beautifully.
Right. So if he slept good, then you know what? He might give you a slap on the wrist. If he didn't sleep good, then you're getting a book thrown at you. So I think ultimately that seems like what it comes down to. It's like, I don't know, is he doing rock, paper, scissors? Is he spinning a wheel? Because a lot of it doesn't make sense. I would think this guy would get suspended. I mean, I don't know.
I'm with you.
You would think that you want to send a message like, hey, we're not playing around. Like somebody, we know that no one got hurt. Well, there was some injury. Some people went to the hospital.
Yeah, I just said no life-threatening
stuff. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I'm just saying that there were some people that went to the hospital, yeah. So there were some injuries. Now, nothing like you said looks like it's not life-threatening, but still, people were hurt. You're not supposed to leave a scene of a crime or a car wreck like that, of an accident, and he did that. Was he driving? Was he not driving? I don't know all of those details, but I think you need to send a message if you're in the NFL and, I don't know, 2 games, 4 games, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think fits what happened here because there's a lot of things that you look at and say, yeah, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. And so I think you got to have some kind of punishment there.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And if it's, I mean, he plays for the Chiefs too, so I don't really care what the severity is of like, all right, hit him with a sixer and then cut it in half to 3 when he makes the appeal. And then that's the actual message that you're sending to the rest of the league. That's what I see this as. It's, man, we're not that far removed, Stoke, from a wide receiver getting in a car wreck, crashing because of speed, and costing someone their lives. And how big of a story was that in the NFL? How much did that set back the Raiders and the league, the look that was going on? So you got to send a message, man. And I've been a young kid before. I understand you're not the smartest in that time of your life. And then you add multiple millions of dollars in a Lamborghini at your hands, then yeah, it seems like a recipe for disaster. Now, not everybody makes those dumb decisions, obviously, but real, real bad one from Rashee Rice and his group of buddies there.
Yeah, I mean, so like, I don't know, would you lease the Lamborghini just to race it? You know, that's your Corvette? I mean, that just doesn't sound like a good plan on a highway. If you're going to do it, and I'm sure there's some roads out there where there's, you know, not a ton of traffic.
We have a like place in Colorado where you can go rent Lambos and race it on their track.
There you go. We'll see what it looks like for him. But obviously, a bad situation. Thank goodness it wasn't worse.
Yeah. You know what? I think I just figured out what I want for my birthday from you.
From me?
Yeah, yeah.
Kisner, you listening? Kisner and Drew?
Kevin's involved, actually, and Drew. For my birthday, I want Stoke to bring us to the Lambo place, let us rent Lamborghinis, and then race them.
Oh.
In a safe environment. Like, they have a track and everything, and you get helmeted up and all that good stuff. What do you think?
I don't know if that's safe. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want anybody to get hurt, so I'm going to say no to that request.
I don't know if I could fit in the Lambo.
Oh, that might be true, too. Yeah.
I bet you could.
I need a convertible.
I bet you could.
Yeah,
because I bet the seats are kind of,
Yeah.
Because there's no trunk.
You guys, you're trying to tell me Shaq never had a Lambo?
He's got a special one, I bet.
Oh, that's true.
He doesn't have the Kisner one.
Right. It's not just right off the lot and the specs that are. All right, well, I'll think of something else you can get me for my
family. All right, keep working on that.
I will. I'll keep working on that one for sure. I know you you have some interest in who's going to win the NBA MVP.
Yeah.
Well, you already believe that it is over. You want me to further the evidence for you?
Oh, yes. I like good news.
Tim Bontemps, the ESPN NBA reporter, he does the straw polls three a year, I believe. Pre-All-Star, post-All-Star, and now. I think that's the timeline.
Okay.
Well, the final poll results are in. And it came out today on ESPN.com. Nikola Jokic, number one. SGA is back in at two here. Luka at three. Giannis, four. Jason Tatum rounds out the top five. Brunson, Edwards, Kawhi, Domantas Sabonis, and Jaylen Brown also in this list. But Stoke, it is 85 first-place votes for Nikola Jokic. The next best vote getter is SGA, and he got 10. First place vote. So you get points for first, points for second, points for third, fourth, and fifth. Nikola got 0 fourth and fifth place votes. He has a total score after the votes are accumulated of 953.
Okay.
SGA, 626. This thing is over.
Yeah, I think it should be a wider gap than that, but
Oh, really?
I mean, like,
that's pretty big, man.
Yeah, I know, but it's blowout city here. I love to hear that. Obviously, it's that would be a cool deal. Three MVPs in 4 years. That's remarkable. So, and he's earned it this year. He's done a great job, and right now they're the number one team in the West. So they're having team success. Obviously, he's doing it individually like he always does. So. It's, there's nothing anyone can say. Like, we've been over here the last few years having to defend Jokic at this time of year.
Yeah.
And what he's done and what he's accomplished. And, well, they're not a good team, and he's got to play on a better team. And, well, okay, they were the number one seed last year, right? Never mind that, Josh. You got to win something in the playoffs. That's the next thing that they went to last year. We can't give it to him three times in a row. He's never won anything, right? So he's never won a championship. You got to have a championship to get it 3 years in a row. So we can't give it to him, okay? So the rules keep changing for Jokic because guess what? He won it last year and won the MVP. So they keep trying to change the rules to not give it to him, and he keeps on saying, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. Now the world's just like, all right, yeah, guy's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
He is pretty dang good. And so it's like, all right, we have no other choice but to give it to him. So he's been the best player all year long from beginning to end. And he's leading a really good basketball team that right now is the number one seed in the West.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Wow.
Yes.
Because you don't have to look at
touchdown,
me with a smirk on your face and give a touchdown. Like, just the look is demeaning. That's what it is. Like, no,
you look
like,
at me.
Yeah, but the look that you got, you like stick this up your rear, Stokely.
I give the same face every time.
No, that one was a little personal.
I actually agree on this.
That one was personal. Like, because yeah, take this.
I feel like it's me and Kevin versus you.
Yes. Right. That's the story of my life.
Yeah, it is.
It's me against the world. Me against my wife and kids. Me, like, it's everybody always. People don't like a winner. That's what happens to me. I'm sorry. I'm a winner. People don't like a winner. They hate on you. And that's the story of my life right there. But good job. I give you credit.
Thank you.
You got it done today. You had me going with the Jokic.
I knew I could get you fired up.
I had no clue what time it was. I wasn't even thinking about it. I'm thinking about cashing all those tickets for my MVP, and you caught me slipping. Good job. Well done. Well played.
Feel good. Feel good that I got a win here on a Wednesday. All right, Stoke, it's a slower night. So here are your two options in life for this evening.
Wow, these boys coming in early. My goodness gracious.
Got to be some kind of a record.
Wow.
You either finish Ricky Stenicki or watch all 9 innings of the Rockies.
Oh, I'm finishing Ricky Stenicki. That's not even a question. I won't watch one single pitch of the Rockies tonight.
Dude. There's nothing else on.
I don't care. I'll go on my phone. I'll be betting hockey. I'll be betting NBA. Like, I'll be doing something else. I will not watch. Why were you going to watch the Rockies tonight? It's Wednesday night. Is it nice outside? It's beautiful outside. It's going to be a beautiful night. So I'm going to enjoy my night. My wife's going out to dinner. You know what that means?
You got the house to yourself. Oh,
kids got to go to bed at 8. So, like, you know, I'm on the patio.
That's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, I'm on the patio, man. I want to enjoy my life, my night. Yeah. And if I do watch the Rockies, that's going to ruin my night. It's going to absolutely ruin it. So I'm looking forward to having a great night, and it has nothing to do with the Rockies. Any other sporting event that's going on, I love it. I'm about it. I'm boycotting my sanity the Colorado Rockies. How about you?
I can't stop watching. I have to watch.
You love the train wreck.
I love the train wreck. I'm that person on I-25 slowing down everything because I can't look away from the accident that is in front of me. So I'm all over it tonight. I cannot wait till it starts. I am actively rooting for Chris Bryant to go 0-for-4 so we get to 0-for-20.
Oh, my God.
This is where we're at, man. This is where we're at.
Josh, you're sick. You're a sick individual.
I can't help it. It's just who I am. I don't know why I feel that way, but I'm locked in tonight, dude.
Okay. All right. Well,
locked in.
I can't wait to get the rundown from you tomorrow about, like, what kind of, like, amateur hour it is. What's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen tonight for the Rockies? Like, I don't know. Is, you know, the pitcher going to give up 15 runs in an inning? Is it like, what is it? How many fly balls are we going to drop? Mm-hmm. How many balls are going to go between our legs? Are we going to try to dive at a ball that's 20 feet in front of us and think that we're going to catch it, and then the ball bounces and goes all the way to the fence? I mean, this stuff has actually happened, folks. So I can't wait to hear what disaster happens tonight for
and
the Rockies.
Don't forget to check in on our new favorite team, the Atlanta Braves.
We have adopted the Atlanta Braves.
We're now Braves fans.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the morning show adopted the Orioles.
Yeah.
You guys adopted the Braves.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you guys going to do?
Hey, I don't know.
Let me tell you about the morning guy. So, well, now I'll give Slareth a pass. If that's hard to do in this situation. So we stole their deal, right? They said the Orioles, right? So let's adopt a team. That's fun,
sure.
Right? So we said, let's go with the Braves. Fine. They're a fun team to watch. They're a good team. And then Evans comes in, and producer comes in, Simmer, and they're loud, like, you can't take the, you know, they won 104 games last year. You got to pick a scrappy team. And then it's like, bro, y'all's team that y'all adopted won 101 last year. But they didn't even realize how many games their team won. That sums it all up.
So were they saying, although they made a mistake, initially were they saying you should pick a team that's more in the vein of the Rockies, of like the disadvantages?
No, just not a favorite to be a team in the postseason.
Like not a World Series favorite here. Just more of a scrappy kind of team that maybe has a better chance than the Rockies to be successful.
Okay.
Our response, though, is like, hey, you dump someone that's not on your level, you don't hunt at that same level anymore. Mm. You're always rising up.
You got to elevate.
Yeah, elevate. That's
Coach Prime.
Elevate and dominate.
Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Elevate and dominate.
21 ways to pick a new baseball team.
Wouldn't that scrappy team be the Rays? You know, the Rays are a scrappy team.
The Rays are always kind of one of those, you know.
Like disadvantaged, small market, and they find way, or they have found ways through the years to achieve success. That's a good one. That's a good one.
So you guys are Rays fans.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Because if it's up to me, I'm going for the big dogs. I'm going for those that have some money.
We're the new Dodgers show.
Definitely didn't gamble. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Mookie Betts every day. Every day getting the home run. Like, what are we doing here?
A2. Yeah, going to the Dodgers,
crazy.
Huh?
God, Mookie's going crazy.
Yeah, he is.
I heard you guys talk about, or do you want to set it up? Go ahead and set it up.
You heard that?
Go ahead and set it up.
The health?
Yeah.
the health. So that's where I'm at. And so I wanted to give you a couple hours to come up with your answer here. So I my thing is, because I heard your promo, good promo, by the way, and Josh is like, yeah, I had an epiphany last night. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's all about the health now. So I'm like, all right.
Stick to your guns, Josh.
He couldn't. I had him on the ground, and I was about to choke him out.
I just had to tap out.
He had nowhere to go. So that is my question. Okay, what does health mean? Like, how are you going to operate here the last 6 games? Because you're like, seeding doesn't matter. It's all about health. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. But what does that mean? We're not going to play anybody the next 6 games. We're going to play them one quarter. If they're a little bit hurt, they play every other game. Like, what does that mean to you, like, health?
Yeah, so it doesn't mean actually, for me, yeah, it means if guys are injured, get them rest. But moreover, like you said, you had an epiphany, and I was driving down the road listening to you guys, that you had an epiphany when Aaron Gordon fell from, like, level the rim down on his hip.
Right on his right hip.
My thing is not as much that, because if you play basketball, you're going to risk injury.
Yep.
My epiphany was on last Wednesday and Friday, watching a team that looked like they had absolutely no gas in the tank, and I got flashbacks of 2 postseasons ago when it looked like no one had legs against the Warriors. They like, the mind and the body weren't connected. They were just cooked. And that's where I think that this team could end up being if they don't play their cards right down the stretch. And they have a schedule that perfectly lends itself to resting guys. And I'm not saying, hey, 1 through 5, you guys are like platoon resting. But you remember what they did last Wednesday and last Friday? It was like, Aaron Gordon and Jamal, you guys are out this game.
Yeah.
Next game, it's Jokic and whoever it was. They kind of like staggered the health. And I just like the idea of mixing days in that are off. In my mind, I had the playing game lasting a week. It's 4 days. It's the 19th. The playoffs start in 17 days from right now. We're 17 days
away. We're not healthy.
With 7 games remaining on the schedule. And you can't, I don't think, and I hope I'm not rambling here, but you can't
par for the course.
You can't protect all guys all the time. But what you can do is try to mitigate certain risks. Yeah. So like when I say that, like I'm not promised tomorrow, right? But what you won't see me personally doing, you won't see me on a tube on the back of a boat. Mm. You're not going to see me swimming in open water. I just not. And I might, because I know people die every year doing that. And maybe it saves 1% because I could get killed downtown on Friday, yeah. Right? And so could you, Stokely, so be careful. But
that's where I'm not going. I'm out.
Stokes the smart one.
I'm out. Right.
No, Zach is banging the table for us to be in there. Stokes is like, yo, I'm out. I might have to go and stop, man.
I'm kidding, but anytime you can try to mitigate and shave off a couple percentages and just preserve what you can preserve. I watched what I saw on Wednesday and Friday night, and I was concerned from the level of energy that the guys had. And
well, you don't think, just sorry to cut you off, you were rambling a long time, yeah. So I wanted to help you out there. But so you don't think that, like, that time, when did you say the play-in game?
It's like the 16th through the 19th, and the first round starts on the 20th.
4 days.
Our last game's the 14th.
Yeah.
So you got, like, 6 days off?
Six days off.
So you don't think that's enough? Like, how much time is enough to where, because you have to walk, like you said, you have to walk the fine line to where these guys aren't rusty, right? That's a long layoff. All of a sudden, like, your conditioning is going to drop a little bit. Are you out of basketball shape because you didn't play against the Grizzlies and Spurs the last 2 games? So that's, like, my biggest concern here is you're going to see a rusty team that's not quite on it because they let off the gas a little bit.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Oh!
Honestly, okay. I really was.
Okay, well, then help me out.
Because I set the trap.
Help me out.
I set the trap, and okay, he fell right in.
This better be a good trap. I think I got a solution to this.
They've earned the trust.
Mm.
That team looked like a disaster down the stretch last year. They lost 3 of their last 4. They lost 5 of their last 7. We've celebrated 2 championships in the last 2 years in this town, and both teams looked like a disaster heading into the playoffs. Now look at game one. They kicked the door down like gangbusters after losing, like I said, 5 of the last 7 games of the year, 3 of the last 4. So I've already seen what it looks like when we've had these concerns, and it shows up like not at all in the playoffs. And if any team has earned my trust, it's them, because I've watched them do. That's assuming if they lose. They're not even losing right now. That's assuming if they if they stumble down the stretch, they've earned the trust. I watch what it looked like at the end of the year, and then 6 days later on game one, and we have the same starting lineup as a year ago. For me, they've earned that trust.
And that's something that we've talked about with Malone and his rants and sometimes the stuff he goes on after the games of like, hey, benefit of the doubt, trust, whatever term you want to use to associate with this team. It's just been one championship, but we know who Nicole is. We know who Jamal is when the lights are the brightest. Like, they have earned that benefit of the doubt. That's exactly what it is. Like, trust in this championship core and the five best starting players in the world to go out and do what we know that they can do. And that's, I have more trust in them to do that than I do fear of what the final six or seven games could be.
Phil?
I mean, I'm kind of eating at it because for me, every year is a new year. And last year, we don't have some of these key pieces in the sense of not the starters, but I'm going to keep saying the Bruce Brown, right? That's a key person that helped us out through the stretch. We don't have that. Our bench is not as good as last year's. All right? We are not as healthy as last year either. And we don't know what's up with Jamal Murray. All right? Because if we get into this playoff situation, Jamal hasn't played the whole entire time until the playoffs, and then he has a setback in these playoffs, then what happens?
That is what I'm concerned about.
He has to play. I think he's close. If he's going through warm-ups, that to me says they're just being real cautious, and then I'm expecting them to see him against the Clippers. But I'm not concerned about them losing games late here. Yeah. I'm just concerned about them getting out of the rhythm, the routine, and then all of a sudden have to get it back going and being a little bit rusty.
Just minimize minutes.
Right, and that might be the best avenue. But that's my biggest concern here is, and you know, they didn't play well down the stretch. You're right. The Avs didn't play well down the stretch when they won it. But to take your foot off the throttle and maybe get a little bit rusty here. Jamal hasn't played forever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're throwing him back in the mix. And I get it. Look, this is a veteran starting five. They played together a lot, but still, you're probably gonna be facing a good team there. You know, and so you gotta be on your game here in the playoffs, and that's just my concern.
How do you think they looked last night?
A little sloppy.
Yeah.
A little sloppy. I mean, they had their moments that looked like, okay, this thing's gonna be put away, and then you know, all of a sudden, you got great opportunities, great looks, and guys just can't make buckets and knock down shots, and then they don't get stops. They give up offensive rebounds, and it's a ball game.
If you see this group play the next seven games, I think you're going to see really sloppy March basketball. This is what it's going to look like. So the idea of, and while there's certain credence to it from you, that it's not enough for me to move the needle from the health standpoint. Mm. And when I say health, I'm not just talking about not having guys injured. I'm talking about going into the postseason with a full tank of gas, ready to freaking step on that gas. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I mean, that was big chunks of that game. Like, this is bizarre. This is one of the worst teams in the league.
It was like summer break. Let's just get through this.
Right? Yeah, and they did the same thing up to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
What, they lose three in a row?
Three out of a row, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not overly concerned. We'll see what it looks like. The Jamal thing, don't forget, Jamal's a notorious slow starter. Notorious slow starter. He's already missed more games than we have in front of us now. He hasn't played since March 21st.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like, in that, talking about playing guys and keeping them sharp, you might need to see Jamal here, him specifically. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what it looks like.
Go Nuggets, go Braves.
All right, go Nuggets, go Braves. And Stoke, don't let those Colts scars steer you. Don't let those Colts scars steer you.
Dude, those won't ever go anywhere. I should have four Super Bowl rings, bro. Okay? I'm haunted.
And how about this? If Jokic won that MVP, he'd be getting his fourth, and that'd be as many as LeBron James at 28 years old.
They didn't want that.
Think about that. He's already going to match Larry and Magic, but he would have as many as LeBron at 28 had he won the MVP last year. So, all right, we are off and rolling just like that. Plenty of stuff going on. Blockbuster trade in the NFL that I can't wait to get into. But where we'll start is last night we saw a glimpse of the past, the present, and the future, all rolled up into one night in Denver sports. That's coming up next.